The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Rip City, Kramer. Rip City. We were just talking about, I was just recently up in Portland. Neither of us had any idea where the term Rip City came for the Portland Trail Blazers. You just looked it up.
I feel like your guess was decent.
Well, my guess, I said, was rip, like the rip of a chainsaw. You rip through timber.
Yeah, but it turned out that it was just a phrase coined by in the first year of the Blazers franchise. Someone on the team made a crazy long shot in the play-by-play against the Lakers, and the play-by-play announcer, Bill Shonnelly, exclaimed, "Rip City." And he claims he has no idea where he came up with the term, but now it's synonymous with the city of Portland.
I like that. I like that.
They wear jerseys that say Rip City on them.
That's a pretty big accomplishment for an announcer. That's almost like, you know, the Oakland Raiders wearing a jersey that says Turducken or something, you know, some madness. I mean, to think about that, basically.
I mean, you have like the legendary calls, right? Like, the back, or what? You can put it on the board, yes. But to like transcend just calling a home run to the point where the city is actually,
yeah, it's not even just the team is nicknamed that. Well, I guess he helped himself out by including city in the nickname. And, I don't know. People in Portland probably like, hey, that's crunchy, man. Rip City, I like that.
Yeah.
Crunchy groove.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan. Oh, unfortunately, Pat Summerall passed away. Big Pat Summerall fan. Now, here's another little piece of trivia while we're taking care of some news.
Can I say something real quick about Pat Summerall?
Sure.
I thought it was pretty amusing. A lot of the people were reflecting on Pat Summerall. And first of all, no one really seemed to mention that he was like a raging drunk. But they kept saying like, Pat Summerall's greatest gift to football was to show people that the play-by-play guy sometimes just needs to step aside and let the color guy be awesome.
He spoke words in his silence.
So it was just like his best work is when he wasn't talking at all. It's like, what?
It's a weird compliment to pay an announcer.
Basically, they're just saying that Madden was really awesome and Summerall was great for shutting up. I mean, I guess Joe Buck could learn a thing or two from Pat Summerall.
Joe Buck's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Well, do you know Pat's not his first, not his actual first name, Ryan?
No. What is it?
Look it up in Wikipedia.
Something hilarious, probably, right? Some old English name?
No, it's... I don't remember what his actual real name is, but Pat comes from, he was a kicker, point after touchdown. So they nicknamed him Pat.
Really?
Which I thought was a pretty badass.
That's
nickname.
Almost as crazy as the Rip City story, Sean.
I know.
Two crazy factoids I learned. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. No, I had never heard that. I've watched a million games in which Pat Summerall and John Madden were the announcers.
Yeah, I'm actually scanning through his thing right now, and I'm not seeing any mention of his actual name. Well,
could be urban legend.
Before the show ends, I'll see if I can figure it out.
Either way, sounds like a good piece.
I mean,
of
I believed it.
Regardless of whether it's correct, Ryan, one more piece of announcer gossip. Unfortunately, Al Michaels framed by the Santa Monica police for a DUI. Now, he got a DUI. It said he was being very cooperative. This just goes to show you what kind of bastards they are in California. Who gives Al Michaels a DUI. He was probably coming from a nice restaurant in Santa Monica, had a couple of glasses of wine or maybe a whiskey. He blew a .08 or .09. The limit in California is .08. What an insane waste of time.
Not to mention that the cops in L.A. they seem generally pretty racist. I mean, how many? I've gotten pulled over before, and I've never anywhere else in the country been let off of a ticket, but in L.A. I have been a couple times.
It's a weird dynamic though, because I feel like they're racist in favor of white people, but then they also, when they're looking to give DUIs or whatever, they're just like looking to probably give them to people who can pay so they can get some money. And also, it does seem like there are more, I don't know. It does seem like there's, like, some of the cops, it doesn't seem like the cops are all white anymore, you know? It seems like it's mixed anyway. I don't know.
All right,
either
Sean,
way.
I found the information.
Yes.
His full name, I feel like a lot of people from this time period have this exact name. George Allen Summerall.
Yes.
Isn't George Allen like a common, anyway. The urban legend was his nickname became Pat because of the abbreviation for point after touchdown, that a field goal kicker was credited for a game in summary. But in 1997, on a Dallas Morning News story, Summerall said after his parents divorced, he was taken in by an aunt and uncle who had a son named Mike. "My aunt and uncle just started calling me Pat to go with their Mike," said Summerall, referring to the frequently named characters in Irish jokes told during that time. What is going on?
I don't know. What is a more bizarre story that
they're equally bizarre.
I like to choose that he was probably just drunk and shooting. That sounds like a joke, doesn't it? That they named him Pat because it goes with all the jokes. Why would they call him Pat? Imagine this. You're going to adopt a kid. It's not like a house cat. It's a kid. He has a name.
Yeah, I don't think you can just rename.
All right, Ryan. Well, let's get to what we do best, predicting playoffs, games. Let's see, Ryan. Well, we are taking this, of course, Wednesday evening.
Yeah, we just, wow.
First two games of the playoff series have already gone final.
Can we reflect on some experiences with Laker fans this week?
Yeah, sure, go.
So optimistic. We talked about this last show, I think, but they were awful all year. They make the playoffs, and they're going to beat the Spurs. Okay. And then after game one, they're like, oh, yeah, they just got to steal one, and now they got to win 4 out of 5. I hope the optimism goes away. I will say this. Haven't seen too many Laker flags this year, huh, Sean?
No, they forgot. Mamba's guarding them all. No Mamba, no flags. Kobe Bryant, Ryan, what do you think? Like, if you had, theoretically, one of your favorite sports teams had a franchise player who was out because of an injury, would you want him tweeting? Did you read some of Kobe Bryant's tweets?
Yeah, I want to hear what he has to say. Isn't that what makes Twitter great?
Yeah. No.
And the crazy thing is Kobe, like, in his post-injury, like, Facebook rant or whatever, he seems pretty, like, he seems incredibly candid.
Yeah, and I don't know. I was never a Kobe guy, but just this past year, the way he just the level of intensity that he brought and just to even get these Lakers into the playoffs and the way he blew out his Achilles and then shot those free throws, I definitely took my level of respect and even kind of liking Kobe Bryant a little bit more this past year.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Kobe. I feel, especially growing up on the East Coast, people did not like Kobe. And I feel like I was always kind of a fan of his. And it's weird. This guy I work with, he's from another country, moved here later in life, and he was kind of like depressed. He's like, I kind of realized that I'm a Kobe Bryant fan, not a Laker fan. Like, I don't know the Lakers without Kobe Bryant. And I don't know. It's great for me, although he will come back. That's the other thing I hate, these Laker fans that are like, yep, got to amnesty him, save that money. It's like, first of all, you're the Lakers. You don't have to worry about saving money. Second of all, you don't do that, right?
Yeah, if you want to get rid of money, there's a lot of other guys you can get rid of.
The Yankees gave Derek Jeter probably too much, but that's what you do for guys who are pretty much, you know, at the end of the day, when you build a museum like the Yankees have, and did the Lakers have a museum? I don't know.
No, they got statues.
Whatever they have, you know, for a pretty awesome franchise, this will be known. Like, when you have an era that is known as the Kobe Bryant era, it's not going to be known as the Shaq era or the Pau Gasol era. It's the Kobe era. You give him whatever money it takes to keep him around, because he's not going to want to stop playing, and you can't have him go finish his career on another team.
Yeah, it's good. It's good publicity to kind of do whatever it takes to keep him on the roster.
Not to mention, he's still good. Like, it's not like a guy who's he's declined, but he's still a starting caliber shooting guard.
Oh, well, I would say he's more than that, but we'll see how he does after the Achilles. I mean, we'll see how much time he has to take off. The Achilles thing is no joke, Ryan. It's no joke.
Yeah, tough injury for old guys to overcome, but I don't know. I mean, the guy, he's played through crazy injuries his whole career, and he's probably one of the tougher guys in the league.
He's not a partier. He's all into having a good diet, stretching. That was funny. Like,
stretching.
He was saying, I heard some interviewer that was saying, like, what is the secret to staying healthy this long? He's like, stretching is really important, blah, blah, blah. So the guy is committed. He's not going to want to go out like this, so he's going to come back. And, you can't afford not to have Kobe Bryant on the team. So Lakers go down 0-2. Neither of – I don't think they covered either game, did they? Or maybe they could –
they did not cover tonight for sure. I can check if you'd like, Sean.
Yeah, double check that, but I don't think
they did not cover either game.
Bucks are down 0-2.
So the only series that are 1-1 are every series is played two games, yes?
Correct.
All right, the only series that's 1-1 is Chicago Brooklyn, which I think I talked to you about a little bit. When the higher seed and the home team wins game one in blowout fashion, they always overreact. And they change the series line. In this case, it went from like plus 130 up to plus 230, I think.
Yeah.
And
that's probably a good trend to watch is these 4-5 matchups where really the five, in this case Chicago, isn't a huge underdog, but they get worked in game one. Like
sometimes,
said,
yeah. Sometimes it's worth waiting on those. But and I'm kind of kicking myself for not grabbing a little bit more. Of course, I did bet the plus 130, so I laid off the plus 230. But Chicago came back and won the game. And the other series is Golden State Denver.
Wow, and it could have been Golden State is a play away from being up 2-0.
That being said, I don't think they have a shot to win the series. I think this was the classic get up game. After your guy goes down, that Azizi or whatever his name is played an unbelievable game. They shot, 67% from the field? They had the best shooting percentage in a playoff game since 1991.
Now, what can you get the Nuggets series price at right now?
Minus 275.
Oh, wow. It's still that big of a...
I think that Denver wins... At least one in Golden State. I think they probably
they need to.
I think they probably end up. It's going to go back to Denver 2-2, and then Denver's going to win in six. I think that you see it a lot in sports, right? Like the Celtics, right after Rondo went down, they played great. Remember, they were beating teams they shouldn't be beating, and eventually
even the Nuggets did that, or I mean, even the Lakers.
Eventually, it wears off, right? Like you go back to your normal self, the get up, or you know, like you kind of pick yourself up for a couple games.
Yeah, I hear that, but I don't know if David Lee is that guy that they're responding to. I think you can't. I mean, putting up 131 points in Denver is still a pretty big feat. I mean, it's tough to deny Steph Curry's shooting. I mean, you got Mark Jackson saying this is the best, you know, backcourt shooting of all time. And the guy is kind of onto something. I mean,
well, they're two of the best shooters in the world right now.
Yeah, and they're on the same team. So, yeah, I agree with you. I like Denver still in the series just because I think they got the experience, the elevation. I think George Karl is... you know, the more seasoned coach. I definitely think Mark Jackson did well in adjusting, especially in game two. And even game one, I thought he had a good game plan for their squad. But, man, so now you're telling me you can get plus odds with this Golden State team, huh?
Here's why I think Denver rolls. One, the thing about seven-game series is that thing, you know, outliers will regress. They're not going to keep shooting.
I mean, it's as much as I want to say, yeah, that was definitely an outlying game, but
they're not going to shoot 67%.
Steph Curry set the record for three-pointers this year.
Yep. Didn't shoot him at 67%, Sean.
No, I know. That is off the charts. But man.
Now, the other thing is, Kenneth Faried first came back. He's got his legs under him now. That's where they're going to miss David Lee. I think that Denver is really has the ability to throw size, and I think what you're going to see is I think you're going to see a little bit more Andre Miller and
Old
JaVale
Man
McGee
moves.
In the second unit, because that's really where the advantage lies. So I still think that Golden State has a very small chance to win the series.
Yeah, but isn't that a fun team to bet on? Guys with just that amazing outside shot. I mean, when they're shooting like that and Steph Curry's got that jump shot, you can't feel bad about that pick.
No, and it was amazing. The ball just kept going in.
Just like you just see the way he pulls up so quickly. It's almost like he's rushing to beat the buzzer every single time, and you're like, oh, he rushed that shot. He's not going to go in. But you realize, oh, my God, that's his regular shooting motion. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's amazing shooter. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah, I still think they don't have a shot.
Well, let's see. Let's kick it over to Chicago, Brooklyn.
I was gonna say yeah, there's not much to talk about with some of these series, but let's finish up the West at least.
Oh, sorry.
Well, at least let's talk about the West. So yeah, we already talked about San Antonio, LA. The series is over, right?
It feels like that. Yeah.
Spurs up 2-0. LA just
they'll get one here. This might be the game three if you have a hunch for the Lakers, probably game three is the game to do it, right?
Yeah, maybe they get one. The series is ending in four.
They look
games.
Beat. I mean, there was a loose ball on the ground and Dwight Howard looked at it like it was a pile of AIDS.
Yeah.
Just refused to dive on that ball. Complete lack of hustle.
Clippers versus the Grizzlies. We talked about this one before, how we thought that the Clippers were a little cheap. Their price was what, -170?
Yeah, I got it. -165.
-165.
Felt good about it.
Felt cheap. Felt like people didn't remember what happened last year. It just feels like, I mean, if you watch those games, I feel like this happens every year. If you don't watch a lot of Chris Paul.
Why does Chris Paul not get more playoff talk?
You watch when he goes.
He's one of the best closers in the game.
Yeah, when he goes into that mode where he, like, you know, he gets away with those push-offs and he gets, like, really chippy. And
well, he's so small, no one's going to call it. He goes down there. All he does, their offense, it's like LeBron when they used to just ISO LeBron. But it's just so funny to see it with the small guy. He just dribbles down. Then just, like, takes a step back and just hits these deadly jumpers right outside the key. It's unstoppable.
I'm going to make a prediction. I think the Clippers advance one, maybe two rounds in the playoffs. Although they're probably not going to beat OKC. And I think Vinny Del Negro loses his job.
Yeah, it seemed like...
If you don't have half-court offense, like, any team that doesn't have any remnants of a half-court offense, the coach needs to be fired.
That's poor coaching. They have the offensive weapons. And,
lot of weapons.
How great was that game two, though? Did you watch any of that game two, Clippers-Memphis? And then that final play, Chris Paul. Oh, man, what a play. Off the glass? That was a great shot.
That was a tough shot. That was a really tough shot.
Tough shot, great shot, great win for the Clippers. Yeah, man, good times all around. All right, so do we hit everything on the West?
So, yeah, that's the West. And then, we didn't do OKC, Houston. Houston flirted with the lead early in Game 1, flirted with the lead late in Game 2. Jeremy Lin's now out.
Oh, really? What happened?
Chest contusion or something like that. I think he missed the second game. This series is over. I mean, I don't think either of us thought there was much of a shot. I think Houston's going to be a team to be reckoned with, though. They're really young. They can run. I think they need a little bit more front court, a little more presence on the front court, maybe a nice free agent signing. But, yeah, this series is over in 4 or 5 also. I think all the West series could be done in 5 games. What do you think? Oh, you don't think Denver's going to – so, yeah, Denver-Golden State, probably the only series that's going to go past 5.
No, I don't think I still like Denver to win the series. I'm just saying –
so yeah, but,
there might be some value in a perhaps. Golden State play right now.
Perhaps. I mean, I guess.
What are they, +200?
So that
you're telling me there's not value in a +200 team who split one on who got one on the road and lost by 2 points in the first game.
I think there's perceived value. I guess my point is, so let me pull up the line just so the line is +230. So that's an implied. 30% chance to win.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a 30% chance. I think it's far less than that.
Really? All right.
So, yeah, but I I'll say this. I feel like this is the only series in the East or in the West that's going to go past 5 games.
Really? So you think...
San Antonio Lakers going past 5?
No.
Oklahoma City, Houston?
No.
Clippers, Memphis?
I could see that going 6.
Maybe.
I think Clippers 1-7 last year. I think I may have predicted Clippers in 6. Maybe Clippers in 5, but Clippers in 6, I could see that.
Game 3 is a huge game.
Memphis obviously has a lot of muscle, and I think they could easily muscle out one, if not both, games in Memphis.
Yeah.
Strong guys down low.
We'll see. All right, moving to the East. Miami, Milwaukee, Brandon Jennings.
Both of us
made a prediction that they're going to win in 6. That
I liked it.
Not smart. Although I did put $10 on the Bucks to beat the Heat at at 100-1. This series is over. Both games, the Bucks kind of hung in early, and
they're down 3 going into the fourth quarter the other night.
Too much Birdman. Too much Birdman.
How is Birdman killing you? How's Birdman not had a heart attack? He's gone to Miami and been that close to cocaine for how long?
He does like that cocaine. Well, if you think that's crazy, Sean, moving on to New York, Boston, Kenyon Martin is playing a prominent role. He's playing down the stretch with Tyson Chandler still coming back off his neck injury. He is throwing block parties. He's grabbing rebounds.
J.R. Smith is slamming at home.
You know what I like about Kenyon Martin and Tyson Chandler too, but it gives the Knicks some toughness. Kenyon Martin in both games has fouled Paul Pierce nice and hard, put him down on the floor. You need a guy like that on your team. He's like a Reggie Evans type guy. He's gonna go annoy the crap out of the other team. Both games, Boston came out, looked like they might have a shot, and the Knicks just too much offense. J.R. Smith, I mean, right now, Carmelo is unguardable, and J.R. Smith is...
Dude, the shots he was chucking up, and they just go in.
Think of it this way. Look at how many teams in the playoffs don't have a guy that can really, really create their own shot all the time.
But does J.R. Smith create shots? I think he just shoots it and it goes in.
All right, how many guys? But that's creating your own shot. Like how many?
Yeah,
guys,
no, I'm just saying.
How many guys on the Bulls can create their own shot? Nate Robinson, like
he's the only guy.
It's amazing to me that the Knicks have like probably two of the best scorers in the playoffs right now. Anyway, so
no, they have that balance of toughness that they hadn't had.
Yeah, and you got Jason Kidd, you know, getting these steals. Pergione, like a crafty European. I don't know. It's a real interesting team to watch. Felton.
They're balanced. And like you said, I think the toughness is what separates this Knicks team from previous Knicks teams.
Melo is...
I'm not buying in yet, but maybe they give Heat a little struggle.
As I predicted, I didn't think Boston had a shot. You thought I was too overconfident. I know it's only 2-0, but much like the Miami series... I don't think this series – I know a lot – it was a popular pick, right? Celtics in 7. Oh, that's going to go 7 games. Knicks in 7. People were predicting it to go long. This was going to be the one series in the first round that was an interesting matchup.
Yeah, it's just people trying to sell the series too.
But like I said, like I predicted, I believe that the series would go five, maybe six. And at this point, I think here's what's going to happen. In one of the two games, three or four, Melo's going to have one of those like 50-point games where he just dominates in the fourth quarter, and Nick Steele, and then close it at home. I think this one's done. I don't know. What do you think, Sean? Any chance for
there is a sweet potential.
+750 on Boston right now.
Oh, to what? Win the series?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like that. I thought
they're going to be favored the next two games.
I didn't think the Celtics had another gear per se, but I did think they would have. I mean, they kind of coasted into the playoffs. I was feeling like, okay, maybe they were resting on their laurels a little bit, but you just watch this team. They look gassed, honestly.
They don't have a ball handler. That's what it comes down to. They don't have anyone that can handle the ball, and you need someone to handle the ball. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Would you agree?
Yeah. No, I mean, they miss Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, it's big time.
And for everyone on the Celtics organization who is dying to trade Rondo
for
all these years, this is the team you wanted?
Yeah.
This is what you were looking for. This is why you were undermining your best player so that you could hopefully get to this?
Yep. All right.
I don't care. What kind of attitude problems does he have that would warrant this team?
Boston wanted to trade him for Pau Gasol. Really? Really?
Pau Gasol, I don't want to play up the soft European angle, but Pau Gasol, man.
Well, his brother just won Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Not soft.
No, I guess it's not even soft. He's just not confident in his own offense.
And you know what's funny? Do you remember at the time when Memphis basically, quote-unquote, gave away Pau Gasol?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, that was a coup, the Lakers. Marc Gasol was part of that trade. Memphis got Marc Gasol. Now, looking at that trade now.
Yeah, but they also, Lakers also got a championship out of it. They got good years of Pau Gasol. That was not a good trade at the time. I mean, you can't make a trade thinking, okay, hey, 4 or 5 years in the future, this is going to be good.
Well, I mean, you got to be thinking about that at some point.
Yeah, I guess. But they still didn't. I mean, you can't trade away a franchise piece in the NBA like that. Unless you're trying to make cap space to sign some big name.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Could you imagine that Memphis team now if they still had Pau Gasol?
All right, so he was traded for. Wow. He was traded for Kwame Brown, Javaris Crittenden, Aaron McKee, and the rights to Marc Gasol and two first round draft picks. Which I believe they turned one of those draft picks into Mike Connolly, and the other one was, but
you can't. It still doesn't feel
just
like.
Saying, yeah, no. Obviously, like Lakers won a championship. Like
no, I mean they're fortunate to have Marc Gasol out of that, so it didn't come out as a complete loss. And yeah, he's playing better than his brother right now. Also, yeah. Ryan, I want you to apologize, and I want you to say that Blake Griffin is one of the top 10 power forwards in the league right now. You can't say his first two performances against the Memphis Grizzlies. The guy's putting up top 10 numbers, Ryan, and he's doing it in the playoffs. I think you owe him an apology.
I apologize that I said he was not a top 10 power forward.
Okay.
What I meant to say was he's not a top 15 power forward, and I would take David Lee with a bum hip over Blake Griffin.
Wow. Now you just
he
sound
can't,
like an asshole.
He's got no offensive game.
What do you mean? He puts up 20 points a game.
He's got to be at the rim or
yeah,
get lucky
goes.
And hit a jump shot. He can't hit a jump shot. He can't. He can get past. I mean, here's the thing. He can't score on Marc Gasol, period. Marc Gasol's been destroying him. He can get around Zach Randolph.
Ryan, read his stat line, please.
I don't have it in front of me. I don't need to see it. Yeah, I can't read a shot chart. Otherwise, maybe
well, you can
that.
You can read percentages. If the guy's taking high percentage shots and making them, how is that a bad thing for a team? I mean, the guy's making shots. He's making plays. He brings energy to the team. They rally around him.
Yep.
How is that? He's doing it against the Grizzlies, a very physical team.
Sticking with it.
All right.
Personal preference.
Okay. Personal preference is like Coke or Pepsi.
Yeah, Coke, obviously.
All right. Well, I agree with you on that. Coke is superior.
So I'm
but
right. All right, moving on. We don't need to talk about this bum any longer.
Chicago Bulls.
No, Indiana, Atlanta. That's the series everyone's talking about. I think I talked about this, how I wasn't it was unclear to me why the line was only -350 or whatever it was to start the series, because I thought Atlanta had 0% chance to win the series, and Indiana's up 2-0 now. I mean, it's just like, Sean, can you name 5 players on the Hawks? Can you name 3 players on the Hawks?
No, I really can't.
I'll give you Josh Smith. Can you name anyone else on the Hawks?
No, honestly, I can't.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to – yeah, I mean, no, I can't.
Jeff Teague, Devin Harris, Al Horford, Kyle Korver.
Kyle Korver.
Yeah, I mean, none of the – anyway.
I'd have to really scratch
my brain. The one series that looks like it could be the only interesting series in the East, Brooklyn, as we talked about, came out shellacked the Bulls in the first round. First game, Chicago bounced back, won the game. I got to be honest, this 4-5 matchup couldn't have been a worse. These are the two worst teams for the Heat to potentially play.
Yeah.
These are some teams that between Gerald Wallace, Brooke Lopez, Reggie Evans on the Nets, or Joakim Noah, Boozer, who else does Chicago? The kid Taj Gibson, they have a bunch of bruisers. Like, Miami, we saw it earlier in the season. Miami does not like to get banged around. It gets in their head, and I think the second round matchup for Miami is going to be a wake up call because they're just cruising right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see Miami lose game 1 or 2 of the next round.
Really?
Yeah, I just think they're gonna get beat up, and they're not gonna be used to it. They're not gonna deal with it because they've been dealing with a real finesse team in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I think Chicago. I mean, if Chicago wins game 3, I think there's a real good chance they end up winning the series.
Yeah.
Really shockingly.
Thibodeau
is the best coach in the NBA. Or second best, next to Popovich.
He's getting a lot out of that
team. If you look at the playoffs and you look at the teams, you know, Oklahoma City, superstar. Actually, the West has some good coaches. George Karl.
Robinson is hands down their best offensive player.
Yeah, and you got like... But you got like OKC. You got a bunch of coaches with good play. The West is different, actually. But in the East, it's just, you know, Brooklyn should be good. The Knicks are obviously a playoff team. Woodson's helped them. Doc Rivers, I guess you could argue he's a great coach. But I mean, he's kind of been elevated by the fact that he's gotten to coach these superstars.
Yeah.
Miami, the same. I mean, it's Vinny Del Negro is a horrible coach.
He's a poor man's Phil Jackson.
Anyway.
Well, the difference is no one tries to say Vinny Del Negro is a good coach. Everyone is just talking shit on Vinny Del Negro every chance they get.
And Doc Rivers is probably going to be the next USA basketball coach.
Here's the thing. As much as I agree with you that Vinny Del Negro, A, is playing for his job in Los Angeles here, and B, is not a great coach by any means. Yes, they need to have a half-court offense. I think he deserves some credit for being able to piece together that team and manage the chemistry on the team. Maybe it's just he's done a good job of getting out of the way, and maybe Chris Paul is really the coach.
Chris Paul and Chauncey Billups are the coaches.
At least he deserves some credit for not trying to wrestle that power away from them. This team, for the number of superstars they have, past and present, has done a great job of gelling.
He does a great job of doing nothing.
Well, hey, but isn't that a skill? Knowing that, hey, this guy can lead, this guy can put the pieces together, I'm going to step out of the way. You know, Chris Paul is the straw that stirs the drink.
But he's getting credit for the fact that the team is sticking together, even though they have all these great players on the bench.
No one gives Vinny Del Negro credit.
No, they've been giving him credit for his handling the roster and all this other bullshit.
No one gives Vinny Del Negro credit.
All right.
They've been killing Vinny Del Negro. You know it, Ryan. All right, who else? Do we have anyone else in the East?
That's it. That's all of them.
That's it. All right, you want to take a quick look at the lines, give a couple predictions here for tonight's games, Thursday and Friday, if we have any lines.
Yeah, there's probably lines for the next couple of days. All right, tomorrow, Miami heads to Milwaukee.
Tomorrow meaning Thursday, right?
Sorry, tonight.
Thursday.
Thursday night, Miami heads to Milwaukee, where the crowd will surely be wearing the Fear the Deer.
Oh, that is really awesome.
Fear the Deer shirts. Miami laying 7.5. Over-under is 194. I have no take on this game. I guess if I was going to do anything, I might throw a couple bucks on the Bucks here. I don't know. I can't really bet. I don't really want to lay the points with Miami. I don't really feel like taking the Bucks. I'd probably just lay off this game.
Gun to my head, I like Milwaukee 7.5.
Yeah, it's the game three. It's the
194.
This is the game where they have urgency. If they don't win this game, they get blown out in game four, you know?
Then they have been playing tough, so I'm going to say Milwaukee plus 7.5.
If anything, I would take Milwaukee plus 4 in the first half or whatever it is. They've been playing tight early in the game.
That's probably – it might be the better call.
All right, next up, Brooklyn heads to Chicago, where Chicago is a 3.5-point favorite.
Ooh.
I
don't know about this one.
The over-under is 181. I'm going to take Chicago. I think Thibodeau's figured something out in that last game, and he's a master at – defense, and I think Brooklyn's going to struggle to score on the road.
Yeah, all right. I'll do Chicago.
Maybe an underplay too, just because I mean the Bulls struggle to score too. That you know, yeah. I would probably lean Bulls in the under.
All right, give me Chicago minus 3.5. I think the friendly rims help them out, and I think Noah having a couple more days of rest and the adrenaline he'll have playing at home.
Nate Robinson doesn't get enough credit for being 5'9" and being able to score 30 points in an NBA playoff game.
Think about this. Derek, I mean, really, this is pretty impressive. Derek Rose goes out, and they replace him essentially with Nate Robinson. And they might win this series. What's the difference between this Philly team last year? Certainly not as good as this Brooklyn team. If they can win this round.
Yeah, they didn't have Nate Robinson last year, Sean.
I mean, that's insane. You know who he reminds me of is Kevin Hart.
Yeah, he probably makes Kevin Hart looks. Or he Kevin Hart probably makes him look pretty tall.
Yeah.
All right. The last game on Thursday night is the Clippers traveling to Memphis. I'll be honest. I guess yeah, maybe Memphis. I know Memphis has had some runs and you know cut the games close or at least the last game. Over under 179.5. Los Angeles Clippers plus 5. I'll take the 5 points all day.
Ooh, wow. I was going to say I was leaning Grizzlies here, but 5 is too high. I really like the over here. 179?
Seems low, huh?
I really like the over. There is a letdown factor, though, after that emotional game 2 win, Ryan. But I feel like 5 points is a little high.
The Clippers are just better.
Clippers are one of the best teams in the league right now. You can't give them 5 points, regardless of situation.
Yeah. All right. Friday night, the New York Knickerbockers head to Boston, where the crowd will certainly be fired up. First home playoff game after the tragedy.
First game after the tragedy.
Boston is minus 3. Over-under is 183. I would stay away from this only because I'm not going to take Boston. This is probably the game they win if they win one. It's going to come down to, not so much can they stop Melo because he's unstoppable right now. It's going to come down to if he makes his shots.
Yeah, you know
what? And honestly, if J.R. Smith scores 20, I mean, basically their formula is J.R. Smith scores 20, Melo scores like 35, and everyone else chips in. They score. Basically, if the Knicks score 100, they're winning this game. And so, tidbit about the series so far. The Boston Celtics in Game 1 scored, I believe, 25 points. And in Game 2, scored 23 points in the second half. The two lowest point totals for a half in the history of the Boston Celtics in the playoffs.
Yeah, they really fell off a cliff. I think it's just their age showing.
No one's talking about the Knicks defense. The Knicks are actually, I've been saying it all year, the Knicks are playing defense. Mike Woodson... I read an article about how J.R. Smith has this really close relationship to Mike Woodson now, and he's trying to become a better man and a better basketball player. And it was like J.R. Smith's father even commented how he's not acting a fool anymore. I mean, did you see that steal he had in the last game? 4 seconds left, steals the ball, pulls up like it's a normal jump shot from like 40 feet and drains it.
Yeah, that was when I was saying he's hitting these crazy shots. That was the particular shot I had in mind.
Yep. Every shot he throws up, you say, no, yes.
Ryan, I'm going to have to say Knicks money line here. Doesn't this just make sense? Boston's down. They might have a little bit of fight in them, but they're going to play tight. They're all banged up. I think you got this Knicks team coming in. They don't have to win. They don't have to win game three. They're playing with nothing to lose. This Knicks team playing with nothing to lose, they're going to be loose. You know, they're going to be fine. I think they win outright.
They also have a lot of veterans, so veterans travel, you know.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right showing up in Boston.
Kenyon Martin travels. He's going to throw a block party in Boston on Friday night.
All right, Ryan.
Last game, Denver heads to Golden State, where Denver's plus one, over-under's 212.5. At this point, you got to take the over, right? Just play the over, 212.5.
Two what?
212.5.
Oh, yeah. Why not, right?
I'd also probably grab a piece of Denver here.
What's the spread?
Plus one.
Mm. Nah, you take the money line.
Well, it's plus 100. Yeah, same thing. But, yeah, I say go over.
Yeah, give me Denver in the over. Fuck it.
All right, Sean. We should get serious now.
All right, NFL draft.
NFL draft, just around the corner, hours away.
Mere hours
away. Not that interesting of a draft this year.
I think great sell.
Yeah, well, I think in reading about the draft today.
Yeah. Well, luckily we have it spread out over 3 days now.
I feel like nothing screams excitement in primetime television like Roger Goodell hugging a bunch of big ogres on the offensive line.
Luke Jokel.
Yeah, I don't know. Should we go through the? Pull up Kuiper's mock draft and just kind of plow through it?
Yeah, let's just go through the top.
Actually, you know what? Fuck Kuiper. Let's do McShay's mock draft.
All right, let's just do the top 10 and then maybe a couple of random news.
Yeah, all right. So I think everyone believes that the number one pick is going to be, what's his name?
Jokel.
Fisher. Luke Jokel.
See, I don't know about Jokel. There was some.
Kansas City's going to trade down.
Really?
I have a feeling that's what's going to happen. If they don't trade down, they're taking.
Now, what are they trading down to?
I think Andy, it's a classic. Like they need so many things, they need to get more draft picks, and they can probably trade down because it seems like the coveted players of this draft, much like RG3 and Andrew Luck were last year, are these three offensive tackles.
Hmm.
Right.
But you think someone's going to trade up to get an offensive tackle?
Yeah.
Now, who do you think's going to do that?
I don't know. It's a good question. I have no idea who's going to trade up. I don't know.
So we're probably thinking Jokel or Fisher for the first pick.
No, I think it's Jokel. Jokel will be the first pick. Not sure the Chiefs are going to be calling that name.
All right.
Jags.
Ooh.
I think the Jags are going to take Eric Fisher.
All right.
Or trade down. Probably take Eric Fisher.
Then we got the Oakland Raiders.
So looking at Kuiper's mock draft, he has the Oakland Raiders taking the defensive tackle out of Florida, Sharif Floyd. Another team that could trade down. I mean, this is the new regime. They need a lot of help across the board with one of the tackles left. I don't know. Sharif Floyd. I don't know much about Sharif Floyd other than I guess he's getting some Warren Sapp comparisons, maybe. I don't know.
Speaking of Warren Sapp,
defensive tackle who can get to the passer, you know.
Interesting post by a guy in Rolling Stone. He was he's like debunking the NFL, the draft combine stuff, and he was saying one of his recommendations was to quote draft the weed guy. He said historically all the guys who fall in the NFL draft because of
testing positive
for weed end up being real steals. You know, you're Randy Moss, you're Warren Sapps.
I mean, last year, not a big name yet, but the Giants selected the kid out of Virginia Tech who was supposed to be a first rounder, fell to the third round, ended up being their starting cornerback for most of the year, or nickelback for most of the year, played a good year. So, it makes sense. What's Weed really going to do to you?
Yeah, well, he was saying everything else notwithstanding. Basically, these kids are smoking a little bit of weed.
Yeah.
As long as everything else from the character, quote-unquote, standpoint is fine, that it's worth the risk of taking a guy just because he's falling because of weed. Obviously, another thing he was talking about was don't let size, lacking in size, hold you back from taking guys.
Yeah, well, sometimes they overthink it, right? I mean, look at Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like there's many more small guys who are able to perform that perform well in college versus the opposite, versus big guys who never perform well in college and are getting drafted high because of their size. I feel like that percentage is lower than the reverse.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, if a guy is smaller, that means he's had to be craftier and work harder.
Yeah, if he's undersized and he's succeeding at D1 at a high level, that's definitely worth something. I mean, obviously, to a certain... You know, if you find someone who's undersized and a raging pussy like DeSean Jackson, yep, then, yeah, you want to stay away from him. But I really don't like DeSean Jackson.
He's still in the Eagles, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Sweet.
All Not right. for long. Chip Kelly will weed out low character guys.
Speaking of Chip Kelly, Eagles with the fourth pick.
Ooh. Well, both, so they're going tackle.
Both Todd McShay and Mel Kiper project the same player, Lane Johnson, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. I a lot of positives coming out of Eagles camp. Michael Vick saying that Chip Kelly's going to change the NFL. Selleck getting super excited about the things they're going to do. So offensive tackle, how do you feel about that? Smart move, right?
Feel great. Because, I mean, it looks like, obviously they needed help. That's the other thing that, not that I'm trying to make excuses for the Eagles season last year, but they were missing three of their starting offensive linemen, and that wasn't a great line to begin with. So Jesus Christ, what's his name?
Peters.
Jason Peters coming back from a torn Achilles, who by all accounts seemingly kind of healthy, but still. Then you want Todd Harriman's. He's going to be playing the other tackle. If you draft a stud tackle, you can move Harriman's back to guard, and then you're kind of on your way to rebuilding offensive lineman or offensive line.
Peters tore his Achilles by jumping on a trampoline, right?
That might have happened, yeah.
All right. Next up, Detroit. The Detroit Lions. Man, remember the over-under for them was like 10.5 last year?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I forgot how bad they were last year.
So they have the Lions
Calvin
drafting.
Calvin Johnson did dominate in fantasy.
He did. They have the Lions drafting Ezekiel Ansah, the kid out of BYU who's just started playing football like 4 years ago. He's massive talent, really raw. I don't really know much about him, but
see, those guys always scare me.
I mean, you know who had a similar kind of scouting report in terms of his raw ability and his limited experience was JPP on the Giants, and he turned out.
I mean, there
well,
are
so.
Yeah, there are guys that do it. I just feel like now this is not going off anything in particular. It's just me bullshitting in my own head, but I feel like I'd rather have the guy with experience versus the guy you're just. I don't know. The guy that you're taking. I feel like football's so nuanced, or it's just a tough game to pick
some
up.
Some positions, like defensive line, it's a lot of just, like, get the ball. You
yeah.
know, like, go
I guess,
get the ball.
I guess it is. It could be a position thing, too.
I mean, there are areas where you can overcome athletic limitations with brains. Like, you look at a lot of middle linebackers remain good later in life because they can, you know, they can be smart about where they're going to be. Urlacher, Ray Lewis,
Manti Te'o. Great
Fletcher.
Example, Ryan. Great way to transition to our next topic.
Okay.
Ryan, how will it feel rooting for a guy, Manti Te'o, coming out of that New York Giants locker room as the starting middle linebacker?
I mean, look, if the Giants get Te'o with the 19th, I mean, he was a top 10 pick middle of the season, late in the college football season. Jerry Reese is not afraid to draft the best available. He'll do it.
But do you think, that being said, I see what you're saying, your spin of like, hey, Manti Te'o would be a great value pick for the New York football Giants, but can this guy play in the NFL? I don't get that feeling that he can. I mean, look at it.
He can play. Look, if you're a first-round pick, you can play. Well,
no, I don't know about that, Ryan. I don't know. I don't know if you can start in the NFL. I don't think he can be a starting middle linebacker.
Here's the thing. I don't like the idea of drafting a middle linebacker in the first round, period, because most of the time, I mean, I guess if you're drafting a middle linebacker in the first round, he's got to be able to play three downs. Not sure Te'o can do that.
But that's what I don't get. Everyone says Te'o can't play three downs. But his best stat, tackles for loss, he had like four tackles for loss last year. You know what his best stat was? Interceptions. He's not going to be getting those on first and second down.
They're not going to take Te'o.
The New York Daily News said they're going to take Te'o. They're trying to get people in those seats, Ryan. The Jets did the same thing. They're trying to sell some personal seats.
The Giants have never done that. Relax. This is not the Jets. You just compare the Jets front office to the Giants front office. Jay Moore, who does a local radio show out here,
national radio.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. It's really awful.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, he's annoying. He doesn't know anything about sports. I mean, do you listen to it and feel like he knows what he's talking about?
Yeah, kind of.
I feel like half the time he doesn't know what he's talking about. Anyway, he did play a pretty funny montage of
all the Jets fans.
The Jets booing every first round pick and then being right for most of them. Anyway, do you want to finish the top 10?
Sure.
Number 6, Mike Lombardi and the Cleveland Browns. The pick here is D. Milner.
Wow. See, now I was seeing, I saw the Giants in Walter Football. Walter Football's mock draft had Dean Milner going to the Giants.
Falling?
Yeah.
Well,
I guess he has some medical issues.
Well, and there's people believe that those – so the teams obviously have known about the medical things, but the stuff that got leaked to the media, they believe it was leaked by one of the teams to try to drop – you know, get him to drop in the draft. Anyway, Cleveland
– shady tactics.
Todd McShay has them drafting the tight end at Notre Dame, Tyler Eifert, whatever his name is, and Mel Kiper has him take him D. Milner. I think Milner's the pick. He's a really good cornerback.
Yeah. Now, what is the medical information?
Just that he's had four surgeries. But from what I understand, none of them are chronic or, like, congenitive that are going to keep hurt, you know. So I don't see why you don't take him here. He's a badass cornerbacks can really change your defense.
What about, do they have Tavon Austin? What's your take on Tavon Austin, Ryan? Seems like a playmaker. Seems like one of the few playmakers in the first round.
He's a small wide receiver coming from a spread offense. I wouldn't touch him. I would not want him on my team. I would be bummed out if my team used a first round pick on him. Which is pretty funny because Mel Kiper has him going to, I'll give you one guess, Sean.
The New York Jets?
The New York Jets. Actually, both.
Classic Jets pick.
With the pick they got from the Buccaneers, number 13, both Kiper and McShay have the Jets selecting Tavon Austin.
So the Jets are just saying, fuck it next year? Is that their plan? Are they just going to say fuck it?
Why haven't they cut Tebow yet? They're actively trying to fuck him. Now all the teams are going to have starting quarterbacks. Like, I feel like Tebow can...
This is some Illuminati thing or something. Something's going on. This is the devil at work.
And you're not going to... Just cut him. Like, what are you doing? All right, next up, Arizona Cardinals. God, they stink, huh? Although, if they do get this guy, he's really good. Deion Jordan.
Wait, who are they starting at quarterback next year?
They signed someone, right? I don't remember.
Look up who they signed at quarterback, Ryan.
They signed someone at quarterback. Anyway, Deion Jordan is the outside linebacker from Oregon.
They were talking about Eagles maybe picking him up. 6'6", Jack dude. It would be perfect for the 3-4.
Getting a lot of comparisons to Jason Taylor, which is, you know.
Well, it's super fast dude, super ripped dude. come from Oregon. Might be you a like good that fit he's for ripped? The Eagles.
Is that yeah. is that like the selling point?
I like stud rip dudes.
Carson Palmer is who they picked up.
Oh yeah.
Just winner. When I think Carson Palmer, I think winner. All right, next up, Buffalo Bills.
Oh, hey, hold on. Hold on. You're telling me the Raiders just cut a quarterback. All right.
They traded him.
Oh, sorry. The Raiders are trying to get rid of a quarterback. All right, let's pick him up.
Yeah, he was owed $13 million. Wow. Jonathan
Carson
Cooper.
Palmer's agent's the man.
Jonathan Cooper, or Buffalo Bills next. Of course, their new coach.
Was Arizona like, hey, we only got fucked by one USC quarterback. Let's get fucked by another one.
Yeah.
They'll probably draft
You know
Matt
what the
Barkley.
Crazy thing is? Is after all these years, Carson Palmer's still the best USC quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. Yeah. So now, sorry. Didn't mean to
Buffalo Bills, number eight. New coach, former head coach of Syracuse. A lot of buzz around Ryan Nesbitt. The quarterback from Syracuse could be the first one to go. McShay actually has the Bills drafting him number eight.
Ooh. Kevin Cobb, QB controversy yeah. in Buffalo.
Kiper has them selecting offensive guard Jonathan Cooper. I got to be honest. I think Buffalo is definitely going to draft the Nesbitt kid. I think what they might do is trade back and take him a little bit later.
Oh, because they don't need to get him there.
Or trade back up.
Hmm.
Next up. New York Jets, both Kuiper and McShay have the Jets taking Barkavius Mingo. I don't know. Outside linebacker from LSU. Enormous guy. 6'4", 242.
Barkavius.
And then closing out, the Titans taking defensive tackle Sheldon Richardson out of Missouri. That's who Kuiper has. And he actually has Tennessee taking D. Milner because... Milner did not go to Cleveland in his mock draft. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like going through that list, not a ton of guys to get really excited about. Obviously, those tackles are they're not exciting, but they are guys you want on your team. Any other highlights from the first round?
Well, Ryan, might be first round, might be late second round. Two guys worth noting, the Honey Badger, who's already planning a first-round party.
He's not. Can we – you want to make a – should we make a friendly wager on this? What? Over under the 64th pick. 64 and a half.
No, I think he's going to go in the third or fourth round. I don't think he's
– I think he's going to go on Saturday. I don't think he's going to get drafted in the first 2 days. So yeah. Fourth round. Some other notables – of guys that you might know, Jarvis Jones, who was at one point going to be a top five pick, falling to 17 with the Steelers, outside pass rusher, outside linebacker. He was a kid that got hurt at USC. The doctors wouldn't clear him, transfers to Georgia, and he's an All-American. DJ Fluker, the offensive tackle out of Alabama, who recently had his Twitter account hacked, apparently.
Did you read that?
It was tweeting. There was a tweet that came out that said something along the lines of, like, I got paid. I had to do what I had to do. You know, like,
coaches were pimping me. I pimped them.
Yeah.
But now normally I think it's total bullshit, but seemingly that tweet that he wrote was totally different tone of voice.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like it was legitimately hacked.
Yeah, it could be. All right. Both Kuiper and.
You know, it's probably from that chick who wrote all that shit about Alabama. And then.
It could be that crazy guy that poisoned their tree.
Dude, they were talking about that. That guy who poisoned the tree.
Was that Auburn's tree or Alabama's tree? I don't remember now. Anyway, regardless, that was crazy.
He's doing 3 years in jail.
Yeah.
Dante Stallworth did like 29 days.
Yep. Well, that guy was an illegal immigrant.
Yeah, and he was crossing illegally. But any of these guys. Mike Tyson
Look,
raped
an American-born tree or some illegal immigrant not using the crosswalk.
I mean, like rapists. They do like 2 years. It's insane that a guy does 3 years for poisoning a tree.
Did you did you happen to catch Mike Tyson's 60 Minutes interview? I think it was.
No,
I didn't either. Someone told me that in it, they basically asked him, like, you know, how have you, like, what have you done in your life to change? Like, how did you change so that you could handle these things happening? Like, his, you know, his daughter.
Yeah, tragic.
She basically got strangled on a treadmill or something. And he's like, no, no, I'm not changed at all. When that happened, I got my gun and I was going to load it and go to the hospital and just start killing people. But I handled the way I always handle. I went on a binge, did a bunch of drugs. Like, I kind of want to watch it. I've heard it's spectacular. I mean, just to hear him tell that story is spectacular.
Yeah, he also did a really good podcast with Bill Simmons and Jalen Rose. Also,
oh, interesting.
Very,
all right.
Yeah, same type of thing. He was talking. I never knew he was into heroin. I thought it was just coke and stuff like that. But
yeah, why stop with coke?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm not surprised, but I don't know.
All right, real quick, to sum up the other notables.
EJ Manuel, Brian.
Well,
he's going to go in the second round.
Hold on.
He's going to enter open up a new chapter in the Philadelphia Eagles history books.
Yeah, he probably will. That's going to annoy me. Both guys have the Giants selecting DJ Hayden, who's the cornerback out of Houston. Really good. Giants will most likely take the best available player at this point. Let's see, who else? Eddie Lacy. Running back out of Alabama. They have St. Louis picking him up with Washington's pick from last year to replace Steven Jackson. Xavier Rhodes, the stud cornerback out of Florida State, going to the Colts. Manti Te'o. Minnesota is going to use the pick they got from Seattle to select Manti Te'o. And that's pretty much it. The German guy, Bjorn Warner, defensive end from Florida State, picked by the Broncos to replace Doomerville.
Ooh.
And San Francisco 49ers selecting Zach Ertz, that mammoth tight end from Stanford. That's kind of, God, San Francisco.
Notre Dame's really tight end might be good, too.
Well, he's projected to go top, well, McShay has him going top 10. So, yeah, should be interesting. it's the draft. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll tune in. Ryan, of course, my favorite draft day moment is when Roger Goodell came up. Got booed and everyone started chanting "We won football." It was so awesome.
All right, so what's the contest this year?
What is the contest, Ryan? Okay, let's see. Well, we got to do is something with Manti Te'o, right?
All right, here's the contest. If you can correctly, well, the Eagles will most likely have one first round pick, right? Is there talk of them trading? Well, we'll just do
let's
it. This
talk
way.
Of them trading down.
If you can correctly pick. If you can correctly tell us who the Giants are going to select, who the Eagles are going to select with their first pick in the first round, if they do end up trading back into the first round again, and what team Manti Te'o goes to.
That's going to be hard. Why don't we just do...
that's too hard?
Yeah, why don't we just do... You can either do... Why don't we just do... well, I feel like just Manti Te'o is too easy.
Yeah. That's why I threw those other ones in there.
Well, let's say you either have to.
Should we just pick another player?
Okay. Who else? Honey Badger.
If you could tell us what team Manti Te'o and the Honey Badger end up on.
Yeah.
What do they get?
Free T-shirt.
All right.
We also got a couple handful entries to the upset series.
Oh.
Ryan, the NBA upset series. I don't have the entries in front of me, but I think we got Memphis. I think we got... Oh, I don't know.
Did anyone pick Chicago?
You know, I don't know. I know Lakers were in there.
No, that's,
Grizzlies.
That's a, anyone pick Golden State?
I don't think so. I'll have to check the Twitter feed.
You are all going to be losers. You are all going to be losers.
Hey, it's not too late. I will still accept entries of any team that's down 2-0.
Yeah, oh, that's fair.
Same thing. If you can, because the line's probably higher than when it originally started. So we'll go with, if you can pick a team that's down 0-2, not if you already entered, sorry, you got to stick with your pick. But if you can, you haven't entered and you'd like to enter in a team for the upset T-shirt special. Tweet us at Gambling Podcast or email us, contest@sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Thank you, guys. Tune into the podcast. Check us out. iTunes, Stitcher, rate, review, share. Always appreciate that. And don't forget the Amazon link for the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
I have a feeling the Jets are going to cheer Tavon Austin.
Kramer, let it ride.